Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My non-random guest tonight is Courtney Wilburn. Courtney, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm very excited to have you on. Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, my name is Courtney Wilburn. I am a programmer. I used to work with Scott not too many moons ago.
No.
And so I live in Philadelphia, and I'm really excited to be here.
And I'm excited to be here. Now, I know we worked together for a while, but I had no idea that you had an interest in Star Trek. So tell me, do you consider yourself a Star Trek fan?
I consider myself a Star Trek fan, but I'm gonna sort of, you know, couch that a little bit.
Okay.
So I grew up watching the original series religiously. Like, my mom had every single episode taped. We watched it all the time, and as a kid, I watched the animated series religiously. So my exposure to Star Trek is pretty much is almost exclusive to that and the movies that came with the original cast. And my mom thought that the Next Generation was heretical because they dared have a Klingon at the bridge. So I did not grow up watching the Next Generation. Now, my wife, on the other hand, is obsessed with the Next Generation, so much so that if she were here, she's currently traveling for work, she would let you know about all the times she and her friends would spend acting out episodes and even sort of writing their own scripts for fun, you know, sort of fan fiction type stuff. So yeah. So I've learned to embrace the Next Generation a little bit. In terms of the other series, I have not seen them at all. But I do know that there are actors on it who I enjoy and have enjoyed in other movies and television shows, so I wouldn't be averse to ever watching them.
So you've been forced to watch your fair share of The Next Generation is what I'm picking up on.
Yeah.
And you're forced to watch a Next Generation episode for this very podcast.
Well, I certainly don't mind. I mean, there's so many amazing actors on the show, and you know, any excuse to watch LeVar Burton and Will Wheaton do their thing is kind of a good one.
That's true. Although they don't play too prominent a role in this episode.
Although they're not.
They play critical and kind of perplexing roles, both of them.
Yeah. And I do love, I just think the way that the characters interact with each other, you know, inside of their roles on the show is always fun to watch, regardless of, like, you know which series of the show you're watching. So.
Yeah, I think Star Trek, more than many other, well, maybe not, this is an overgeneralization, but Star Trek is very much driven by character relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was going to say more than any other science fiction show, but that's an overgeneralization. I think all good stories have strong characters, and it's all about how they interact with each other. So that certainly Star Trek at its finest focuses on characters.
Yeah,
Star Trek, I don't think is at its finest in this episode, spoiler alert. the episode we are going to discuss, although everyone who's listening already knows, Symbiosis, which is a season one Next Generation episode. So you already know you're in trouble. Seasoned Star Trek fans know that Star Trek, the first season of the Next Generation, not very great. This is not the worst episode of the first season, so that's good. Not the best episode of the first season either. I kind of think of this as maybe like a cross between an after school special. It's like a very special episode of Star Trek.
It definitely had that kind of tone to it. It was, a cross between, I couldn't decide if it was like after school special or, yes, very, very special episode.
That's right. You know. Make your kids watch this so they don't do drugs.
Right.
This is the episode in which it's strange. The Enterprise has entered this solar system. They're checking out this sun that has, I guess, some kind of interesting characteristics, and they're just there to watch it.
Right.
They're seemingly unaware of the fact that there are two populated planets in this solar system.
Right.
Which I always question Starfleet and their record keeping when they or you know censorship. You think they'd go in and you know scout around a little bit, see what's there?
Yeah, and they were just like, "Oh my god!" And I think I've took some notes while I was watching the episode, and I think the funniest thing was like Riker at the beginning was like, "I've never seen anything like it before. The eruptions on the sun are awesome." I was just like, "Okay, it sounds like you're like in Hawaii surfing and you're just kind of caught a sunset, maybe."
Yeah, this episode has some interesting phraseology.
Yeah.
And I was reading the wiki article, and apparently the writer of this episode also had just come off of writing a bunch of Miami Vice scripts.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, so this is kind of like Miami Vice in space.
Yeah, totally. You definitely got the whole crack is whack vibe, you know, while watching.
Yes, and some of the costumes of the, so basically the solar system or star system, however you say in Star Trek speak, two populated planets, they have this symbiotic relationship. Ooh,
yeah.
In that one planet is, I guess, entirely agricultural, but they're growing this specific plant that cures the other planet's plague. So all that one planet does is grow this thing and sell it to the other planet. The other planet produces everything that planet uses. So, you know, all the machinery and everything. And apparently the entire planet, they only have three freighters. It's very confusing.
Right.
And so these freighters, I guess, are on an endless loop between the two planets. They pick up their seeds or their medicine, and they drop off manufactured goods, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was just total manufactured goods or just like bits and pieces. It was like bricks, but they're building the houses, or if it was like they're like, you know, the equivalent of those 18-wheelers you see on the highway with the flags on them saying like here's half of your house and here's the other half of your house. Like I wasn't really sure like what they meant by that. So
yeah, this episode doesn't linger too long on the economics of how this works. But I'm intrigued more by that than by what it is.
Absolutely.
So we find, they come across this freighter, they being the Enterprise, that as they're gazing at this star, and Riker thinks it's awesome, and he does in fact. The line that you said, it came exactly from Riker's mouth, and it was very weird. they find a freighter is in trouble, and probably the highlight of the episode is this freighter is in trouble. It's going to fall into the atmosphere of the planet it's orbiting. So obviously, what would the Enterprise do? Go off and help. And there's these great interactions where, you know, they hail the freighter and the captain's like, and I guess I should say that this star has like an unusual magnetic field.
Right.
Which is important, because transporters are acting wackily. The tractor beam can't work. It also made me think that the Enterprise is a starship. And you would think they would have hardened electronics so they wouldn't have to worry about such things.
Right? Yeah.
But,
we can examine the numerous holes in this, I guess.
That is one of my favorite activities. Yeah. I will accept that for this star has an unusual electromagnetic field that's wreaking havoc with the Enterprise. Although light havoc, I will say, because everything seems to work, except I guess Wesley's console goes out.
Right.
But it doesn't explode. So
it's
unusual for Star Trek. Usually they explode. it just kind of blinks out. Also weird editing choices, I think, because so Wesley Crusher is using his little console. Then they show like electricity going through it, and then it flickers out and it's blank. And then there's like a 10 second shot of Wesley just looking at it.
Yeah.
And then he says, "Oh, my console's out." And I was like, yeah, you could cut that a little, I think.
Right.
But it was a different time when this show came on the air. People had more time to luxuriate in reactions.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm getting up. This is like the first 3 minutes of the episode, and I've already had so many plot holes.
Right.
We haven't gotten to the meat of it.
The other holes come way, like, I can point out some plots in there, like...
Yeah, this episode has many problems.
Yeah.
Although I do I agree with the message that you shouldn't do drugs. So kids, if you're listening, Don't do drugs. Crack is whack. Nancy Reagan would be proud. So my favorite part of this episode is when the Enterprise and, you know, Starfleet officers are knowledgeable and helpful and efficient, and they generally expect other people who are operating ships to be the same way, which, you know, I guess is not unreasonable. And so they talk to this freighter captain, and it is clear that the freighter captain just has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, no idea whatsoever.
And so they're like, well, what's wrong with your ship? Can we help? And he's like, it's just not working.
He's like, I don't know, it's like broken or something.
It's not going where I want to go. And Captain Picard is like, well, what does your computer say? And he's like, I don't know how to use the computer. And Captain Picard's like, what, is this like your first time piloting this freighter? And he's like, no.
My favorite line was, what is the matter with these people?
Yes, he kind of mutes the microphone and he turns to Riker and he's like, what is the matter with these people? So they clearly, the freighter captain doesn't know what's going on. There is a great moment where Picard's like, well, do you know how to realign this coil? And he says, no, I don't. And Captain Picard's like, well, does somebody else on board know how to do it? And he's like, oh, let me check. I don't know. I just found that hilarious.
Yeah, no, that was pretty, it was pretty good.
And then it turns out, spoiler alert, nobody knows how to fix the coil.
Yeah.
And so they need to beam them off the ship because their tractor beam's not working. So they need to get them onto the Enterprise so they don't die. Through a long series of instructions, they tell them how to tie their transporters together, and they transport over, but they don't transport over. They transport their cargo over instead, which confuses Riker and Tasha Yar. This is a first season episode, so Tasha Yar is involved.
Yes.
And then they beam them over. They're like, what the heck? Why did you beam your cargo over first? And the people are very concerned about their cargo. They don't care about their, I guess two people died on the freighter.
Right.
But they're all like, where's the cargo? And it is clear that something's not right.
Right.
And this is where we get, and this is, you know, Star Trek at its best, I feel, and science fiction at its best. Comments on society, takes, you know, problems of today, puts it in the future, and kind of either shows a solution or highlights the problem and makes you think about it in a new way. Star Trek, at its worst, takes a current day problem and heavy-handedly gives you a sermon about it.
I think that, yeah, I think we're in the latter. We're squarely in the latter category.
Yes. So you can see that there are dozens of the two planets. The planet that creates the medicine, quote unquote, that I will call it now. They have these wacky future space jumpsuits. They look healthy. They're very happy. One of the actors is from Star Trek II. He is Joaquin from Star Trek II, who's
was that a bare midriff on the other?
Was that
like a leather patch in the middle?
I felt like it was her bare midriff.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I could be wrong, but she's wearing like a, I don't know, a shiny dress. I don't even know what it was made of, and with cutouts. And he's wearing like I don't even know how to describe it. A super shiny shirt with like a little tan vest over it or something.
Yeah, they both look like some, definitely a cross between Miami Vice, mm-hmm. Mama's Family, and the movie Mannequin. It's like an unholy trinity of those sort of fashion wise, at least in my opinion.
Yes, it is not a great choice. I don't even think in the 80s it was a good choice, so I don't know. I don't know what they're, and this was in the 90s, well, I guess 1988, early, so it's on the cusp, but I question. And so, but clearly they look refreshed and healthy, and they're wearing their ridiculous outfits, but it's clear that they're kind of, you know, fancy, and then that is contrasted with the people from the other planet who are wearing like dirty jumpsuits and overalls and just look a mess, really.
Yeah. My note here says space hillbilly.
That is an accurate way of summing it up. And so this episode is really about, I think, two things. It's about drug abuse and the Prime Directive.
Yeah.
Both of which I think are misplaced in this episode. So it turns out that everybody, well, the big thing is like, oh, the hillbillies have this plague that they didn't tell anybody about. And they need this medicine from the fancy folks in order to not cure the plague, but to suppress the symptoms. And so Picard's all like, I just beamed four random strangers on board, and now you're carrying the plague? And I thought to myself, as a Star Trek geek, I was like, well, they went through the transporters, so the bio filter should have filtered out any disease. But they have for people like me, they have Riker say, well, the magnetic interference may have caused the biofilters to be offline, so we can't be sure if they have the plague or not. And I was like, okay. At least
yeah,
they explained
it. Yeah, I was like, that was for fans. Yeah, I was like, that was, they didn't want to throw off continuity errors, any potential continuity errors.
Exactly, because everybody would be like, they can't possibly have any diseases because they got transported on. But so they go off to sickbay, and Dr. Crusher's like, there's nothing wrong with them. They're perfectly fine, except they have these symptoms, these odd, perhaps withdrawal symptoms.
Right, maybe. The shivering.
Yes. And you would think, she's a professional medical person, you would think she could recognize these symptoms a little quicker than she does.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. And the only, I was thinking about, well, why wouldn't she have noticed these things? Because I feel like any modern day doctor would think, you're perfectly fine. You need this medicine and you're having withdrawal symptoms, so maybe you're addicted to it.
Absolutely.
And my only thing I could think of, and this is where we go into the lovely world of headcanon, is that the Starfleet and the Federation are so advanced that they don't have to worry about addiction anymore. Everybody's well adjusted, everybody's happy, nobody has these problems. And so Beverly Crusher just doesn't think about it because it doesn't happen in Starfleet.
It could be.
Although, of course, you know, Geordi and Reginald Barkley, one of my favorite characters, both suffer from holodeck addictions. So there goes that theory. But anyway. So it turns out that these two planets have been stunted. Their societal growth has been stunted because this one planet has had this plague. The other planet produces the medicine that is actually a narcotic that is basically addicted. They've addicted everybody. They're the drug dealers, and the other planets are the junkies. And they have been locked in this relationship for 200 years, and nobody's advanced anymore because the drug dealers are just making sweet money. They don't have to do anything except, you know, refine their drug process. And the junkies can't do anything other than all they do is think about their next hit, right? So they can't fix their freighters. They can't think of any new solutions to anything. They just want that sweet, sweet drug, which name I've forgotten. Felicit? Something weird.
Yeah. Felicium. Yeah, Felicium. That's right. Which is great if you study Latin, I guess. Right. You know.
it's the happy drug, right?
Happy drug.
Not super, and it looks like it's like they show it, and it looks like it's farro or something, some grain.
yeah, totally. It looks like, I was like, they just have a big pit of rice.
Although rice is delicious, so yes, I can't argue with that. So they figure this out, right? Beverly is like, well, we have to help stop this because the whole planet is addicted. And I can synthesize something that'll wean them off of it. And Picard is like, no, can't do that. And I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
he doesn't want to do that. It seems weird.
Well, I mean, that's when they start tossing in the whole Prime Directive. Well, I can't interfere with the society, you know, with the...
Yeah, but so this is, the Prime Directive is one of those crucial things about Star Trek and something that sets it apart, right? It's this law that they follow, and it is their prime directive, obviously. But he's already broken it by, you know, saving them from the freighter.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not help them? He won't even tell them really what's going on. He uses the information. He tells the drug dealer people, listen, we know what's going on, but we're not going to tell the other people for some reason because we don't want to mess with your society.
Right. It's like, you already know that these grains of rice are narcotics or whatever.
That's right.
So, you know, we'll give them the barley. We'll give them each the barley. And then we'll just kind of...
And then we'll beam them back to their planet with this shipment. And we'll beam you too. But we won't give you... We won't give them the replacement parts for their freighters. Because their whole fleet is aging. And they all need new... some kind of coils, right?
Right.
Because that would be interfering. So you have to figure it out yourself. And to which our two drug-addled space hippies, hillbillies, they're not space hippies, that's an original series episode. Are like, but we won't be able to figure out how to do it. And Captain Picard's like, not my problem.
Right.
And Dr. Crusher, who is, by the way, expressed her vehement unhappiness with this plan, says, I can't, basically she says, I can't tell you why, but trust me, you'll be all right.
Yeah. And they seem to be like, all right, I guess we're just going to take all of this barley and go. whatever.
They have no other option, I guess. Yeah. And that's really the whole episode. The couple things I've skipped over is that these, for no reason, both of these alien races can shoot electricity out of their hands.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, wait, when they got into the little shock fight or whatever in the cargo bay, I was like, really? They know they can shock people, yet they, you know, are like, we have the plague, and then they're like, you know, they're just having withdrawal.
it's very strange. And that, I guess the only reason they can do that is so that at a critical moment, one of the drug-addled guys can hold Riker hostage for like 30 seconds and say, give us the drugs or we'll kill Riker. Although apparently he says, we'll kill this man.
Yeah, he said this
he
man.
Doesn't know what Riker's name is, I guess.
Yeah, he said this man like three times. He's like, we'll kill this man. Hold this man until you...
That's right. That man has a name.
Yeah.
And then Captain Picard's like, you're not a killer. And then he's like, you're right. Okay. And so what else? And then, oh, and this is the, so obviously this show is about drugs. This episode is about drugs. Oh. And so this is there's a point at which Wesley Crusher turns to Data. And why he turns to Data, I have no idea. Cause Data is not an expert on, why humans do things.
Right.
And he says, I don't understand why people use drugs. Cause you just get addicted and, no good can come of it. And Data's like, well, it's something that people have struggled with forever. And now Tasha Yar pipes in. And she's
like... Chimes in with a little anecdote about, this is what used to happen back in my day in my home planet.
That's right. And Tasha Yar is from a horrible planet. So, and she kind of insinuates maybe that she did a little bit of drugs on her planet. And she points out that nobody starts doing drugs because they want to be addicted. They want to, you know, at the beginning it's fun and it lets you forget all your worries. And then later on it's kind of a slippery slope, basically. And before you know it, you're addicted and then the bad stuff happens. So don't do it, Wes. And Wesley's like, okay, I won't. I live on the Enterprise. Drugs are not a problem here.
We don't have to worry about that.
Don't have to worry about that. And so that's the weird Wesley interaction. Yeah. Then there, at the very end of the episode, there is a weird Geordi interaction.
Yeah.
Because Captain Picard, he's dispatched these people. He has not solved their problem. He's just made it worse, really.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to send you off with your opium barley or whatever.
That's right.
Go ahead and...
And trap you on your planet. Yeah. Although I guess they're not... They still have two functioning freighters for now, so they
can... Well, like barely, right? I mean, they were insinuating that the freighters were kind of on the fritz.
Yes. And it's very strange. So anyway, he sends them back off and he's like, I need to get out of this system. Geordi, just fly us somewhere.
Yeah, just take me wherever.
Yeah, and I thought that was very weird. Like, I made me think, Does the Enterprise, like, not have a schedule? Do they not have things they need to do? They could just go wherever?
Yeah, it's just like they can just make a stop. It's like a cruise ship. And it's just like, right. We're going to pick up some shells on this planet. And then here we're going to get some, have some cocktails on this planet. And
yeah, then Geordi just picks a random system, and because that's what he was ordered to do. And Riker says, why there? And Geordi's like, we've never been there, so I'm curious. And everyone's like, okay.
Everyone's like, cool. All right.
Let's go.
Sounds good.
Sounds better than this space hellhole we're in right now. yeah, it's so strange. And then the other strange thing is the way it ends, right? So I think somebody, maybe Riker, says, I wonder what's going to happen with this stuff. Yeah. And Picard says, we'll probably never know.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
I think you kind of do know.
You do know, and you could totally come back and find out.
Yeah, they're too tore up to figure out how to fix their ship. And so the freighter's going to go down. Maybe they'll all get off drugs. Perhaps they'll get into a battle with the Brekkians. No idea.
I don't know.
Over this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't. You would think that maybe they'd want to stop by, see how things are going. Although I guess that would also break the Prime Directive. But I feel like, so they are, the Prime Directive, as I understand it, is about how you can't interfere with pre-space flight civilizations. And you don't want them to even see that you have a giant spaceship, that you're flying around, that you have this advanced technology. All of that breaks the Prime Directive, even just showing that you're there, right? It's like the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Right.
Even observation itself changes the observed. And he breaks that immediately, right? Like they hail them, they beam them aboard, they show them all kinds of stuff. They show them, like, they're having their little electricity fight, and TR shoots them with a phaser. So it's kind of clear that they are have advanced technology. Captain Picard identifies himself. They've broken the Prime Directive. It seems like the compassionate thing to do would be to say, hey, you guys are addicted to drugs. The plague has been cured. You don't know that because your drug dealers aren't telling you that, because why would they? It's a pretty sweet deal for them. But here's some, you know, here's like a little Felicium patch.
Right.
You wear it, and over the course of 3 months, your cravings will go down, and you'll all feel fine, and you can have a nice, productive society. We'll come back, and maybe you could even join the Federation of Planets, and everyone will be happy. But Captain Picard, for some reason, he takes a hard line.
Yeah, a sort of hard line. Well, the hard line shifted, right? I mean, the Brekkians were got on the ship and were like, ooh, this is nice. That, they were like drinking cognac or whatever with their like weird leather suits.
Yes, that was a great scene.
This is nice. This is great. We like it here.
Captain Picard says it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, obviously, the message of this episode is clearly don't do drugs.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the episode, I'm not sure what the message is. What are we supposed to take away?
Yeah, I mean, don't interfere with a planet full of drug addicts? Or is it supposed to be like, oh, you know, if there's a if somebody doesn't know that they're addicted to drugs, maybe it's best that they never find out on their own.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. And I think so reading, I don't usually do too much research into episodes, but I was so perplexed by this episode, I had to look at and figure out how it came to be. And it seems that the crew, the cast, I should say, were against having the very special moment when Tasha Yar has the drug talk with Wes.
Yeah. That was definitely, like, I thought I was going to hear, at the beginning, right?
The more you know. It was just so awkward and heavy-handed. I mean, you could have, take that scene out, and that message still comes through. And it's I wouldn't say it's subtle, but it's less heavy-handed.
Right.
But no, they have that in there. What else? I forget. There's some other thing that I was going to say. Oh, the Miami Vice connection, which, you know, explains a lot once you find out.
It definitely explains a lot. Though I would have, I think it would, if they had gone full Miami Vice and maybe had the drug dealing planet with the Breckians kind of, you know, maybe they would have had some weapons or, I guess the only way they showed their opulence was with their fancy leather midriffs or whatever, bare midriff shirts.
And they were clean.
Yeah, they were clean. Right.
And not, like, shaking because they weren't going through withdrawal.
Right.
Because they had, so that was the thing, the Breckians had had this plague before. And so they grew this plant, or it was a plant that they were growing. They figured out that they could distill a medicine out of this plant. And then they also figured out that it was addictive. So they cured the plague. Then they weaned themselves off of the plant, and then basically enslaved the other planet through the use of drugs, which is not cool.
Right. And then they made the more, well, at the same time, they made the drug more potent, right?
Oh, that's so right. Yeah, they had a section where they explained, oh, you just need to use a tiny little bit of it because we've made it super potent. Right. And that's where the scene where Crusher finally figures it out, because they agree to give the two guys on the freighter a dose to stave off their symptoms.
Right.
And Dr. Crusher, Captain Picard says, oh, Dr. Crusher should administer it. So she shows up. And they administer it themselves because they're drug addicts and they know how to take their drugs.
Right.
And it is clear from that scene, the way they're like, come on, come on, come on, I need it,
they
I need it.
They were feeling fine after that.
And then they took it and they're like, ah, that's the stuff. Sweet, sweet Felicia.
Yeah, they were definitely feeling good. They were feeling no pain for a minute there. It was pretty hilarious. Just Dr. Crusher's expression was like, look at, oh my God.
That's right. It clicked after a long time.
Yeah, I was like, it took you that long, really? They were sweating. You said they had nothing wrong. They really wanted this barley or whatever.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then I have a question about, you know, she sees that and then she tells Picard, and then Riker and Data research it. And they find out this whole history about, you know, that I explained about the plague and them not knowing it was a plague. I don't know where they got this information from, because they had said they'd not been, I guess they had been there, the Federation had either never been there or had been there maybe 200 years ago or something. Yeah. So it doesn't seem all that, like, you, I don't know why they, how they would get that information.
Yeah.
And the resolution, as we said before, is also kind of doesn't have Captain Picard in the best light, because he tells the drug dealers, okay, I know you're drug dealers, so you have to give them these drugs for free, because I know and I don't want to spill your secrets. And then we're going to strand you on their planet, and then we're going to leave.
Right.
The end. And then Geordi's just going to pick somewhere where we should go. So it seems like they ignore the Prime Directive, as often is the case in Star Trek, when they want to, and then they bring up the Prime Directive when it is
expedient.
Yeah, expedient, exactly. Yeah. Although I think, morally speaking, Captain Picard has made the wrong decision. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I sort of agree with his assessment that, like, there is no, I mean, they clearly need the drugs, or like things will descend into chaos. It seemed like the dude on the home planet that they got in touch with, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, he seemed like he was like about to commit suicide from the withdrawal. So, like,
that's true.
My guess was that he was like, okay, I need to prevent this planet from descending into total chaos. They get their fix, and then maybe perhaps they'll be clear of mind enough to realize, well, those things they said to us on the ship, or maybe they're going to have a huge crack party, I don't know. So the things that they said to us on the ship maybe leads us to believe that this isn't, you know, there's no such thing as a plague anymore, and we're all just on drugs, or...
Well, of course, you know, drug addicts are known for their reasoning abilities. So
totally.
I'm sure they'll just figure it out themselves and everyone will be fine.
It'd be one thing if one person hit bottom, but the whole planet's hitting bottom, essentially. So
that's true.
You know, that could be pretty ugly. I mean, that guy was like, I can't take it anymore.
he was feeling the pain there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they have the unfortunate luck of having their planet be in this solar system where this sun has this crazy magnetic field that disrupts everything, so they can't even communicate very effectively.
Right.
And that could help. That could explain some of their technological backwardness,
or the fact that they get upset with their withdrawal and just start shocking each other. they don't talk their problems out. That's right. I'm just gonna just shock you.
No. I'm gonna shock you with my lightning hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this episode is very. I feel like I say this a lot, but this episode very strange. And I don't know. I don't understand it. I guess maybe. It was, you know, the 80s, there was the big, you know, anti-drug campaign. So I guess it makes sense in that kind of historical context. But if you ask me, it doesn't make for a great Star Trek episode. But what did you think of this episode?
As soon as a couple minutes in when I got the gist, it was like, that's drugs. Like, as soon as they were like, why did you put the cargo in? It's like, that's got to be drugs. It's got to be the drugs or weapons. And then when they were like, it's medicine, it was like, it's drugs.
Yeah, see, that's the, I guess, you know, part of it, I think a savvy television writer writes this to make it obvious for the audience, because then you think, I'm smarter than the Enterprise crew, and that makes you feel a little better. But then you think, they're really, really stupid.
Right, right. And you're like, how are they manning this spacecraft?
They are missing.
They didn't catch up onto the whole withdrawal thing.
Yeah, it seemed fairly, you could understand right off the bat, they wouldn't catch on. But there are many hints that they just do not get, which makes me question their reasoning faculties.
Right.
But yeah, overall, a weird, weird episode that has a good message, I guess. Well, one good message. The other message, I'm not quite sure how I feel about, but...
a good message is relative. I mean, they make it seem like, oh, once these folks get over their, you know, bit of the shakes, like the entire planet, then like, you know, they'll be fine. It's going to be A-okay. They're not going to be like, wait, what? We were being exploited for drugs? Let's
destroy that other planet.
Let's destroy the Brekkians with their leather clothing.
That's right. We'll take all the things we've given them back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that you're right. I imagine the Enterprise leaves. And they figure out that this is the best case scenario. They figure out the drug people figure out, okay, we're addicted. Let's wean ourselves off this drug. And then we will just kill the Brekkians.
Yeah. We're just going to just blow it up. We know how to manufacture stuff. Why don't we make our home planet nice instead of like, you know, wearing these overalls that we seem to, these skirted overalls that we seem to enjoy so much.
That's right. And they did make it clear that the Brekkians don't manufacture anything, and the Onarans, I guess, manufacture everything. So the Onarans are, you know, to make a Civil War reference for no particular reason. They're like the North, right, with the industrial
absolutely
powers, and the Brekkians are the South with the agricultural power, and we all know how that turned out. Yeah. So I would think that if you're in that solar system, you might want to consider investment property on the Brekkian homeworld.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's where your investment's going to get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, totally.
If you can, you know, it's like, I think that neighborhood is on the cusp of gentrification.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You'll be able to flip some land on that.
Exactly. And then move on to the next solar system.
Yeah.
And take that powerful drug with you, and then you can start selling that.
It was funny. It was like, this sounds exactly like Opium. They're like, it's cultivated in a specific part of the world. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to cultivate. We spend a lot of time distilling it and getting it of the proper concentration. I'm just like, huh. Opium? Heroin?
That's true. And that's the Brekkians' kind of defense is, you know, sure, it's a drug. And we know that. But it's really labor intensive. We had to develop a lot of stuff to cultivate it. It's hard. We deserve everything we get. Yeah. Which, you know, Captain Picard was not really down with.
Yeah. How else are we going to look this perfectly coiffed?
That's right. That's a lot of hair they need to style. So.
Oh, man. beautiful, beautiful hair.
That's true. That's, and you can see that hair in Star Trek 2 as well. Well, Courtney, I believe we've reached the end of our discussion. Thank you for joining
me. Oh, you're welcome.
Next on Random Trek, The Next Generation's Man of the People.